All right. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's News from the Drug War Front. My name is Jeff and my co-presenter is Marion. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, listeners. Wakey, wakey, up you get. You've had your holiday now. Outside, it's not all that fine, or it wasn't when we came inside, but it's going to be nicer a little bit later on today, I think, Jeffrey, isn't it?
I love autumn in Canberra.
It's beautiful, isn't it? The sun, the change of the colour of the leaves are just gorgeous, especially around the inner north, where they've got so many, you know, shoe-in trees that shouldn't be here, non-Indigenous trees, but, dear, the colours are beautiful in Canberra.
Absolutely. Now, autumn is a lovely season. Mm. Okay, welcome, listeners, both new and old, to this week's edition of News from the Drug War Front, which is brought to you by CARMA, which is the Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimisation and Advocacy. Now, CARMA is a peer-based, community-controlled drug use organisation. And given a bit of historical overview, the development of the needle and syringe program, expansion of opioid maintenance treatment, and the very funding of drug use organisations began as part of the highly successful public health response to the HIV/AIDS epidemic back in Australia, back in the 1980s, By involving affected communities, Australia was able to keep HIV infection rates very low by global standards. And anyone who's seen, like, Trainspotting, which sort of shows the heroin scene in Glasgow.
Yes, which was, in fact, one of the lessons that we took our approach to HIV from was from Glasgow, because the rate of HIV infection in Glasgow was really high amongst injecting drug users, absolutely detrimental to their population and killing people left, right and centre, Jeffrey, whereas in Australia, because we got onto it so quickly, the rate of infection was minimal in injecting drug users who had that as their only risk factor, I must say. That needs to be thrown in there, I think, as a proviso.
Bloodborne transmission.
Bloodborne transmissions,
No, full credit to the Hawke government and also his health minister, Dr. Neil Blewett, at the time for involving.
And us, darling, because we were there, hey?
Well, that took you.
It's taken us red.
So, yeah, as Marion said, Australia was able to keep HIV infection rates very low by global standards. Of course, there are other viruses that affect injecting drug users, and hepatitis C, which we are going to talk quite a bit about today in today's show, and talk about a very exciting new collaboration between CARMA and also Hepatitis ACT.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Great idea. Yeah. What was it called?
Reach, Teach, Treat.
Treat, yep. It's idea is to get peer educators, users as peer educators, I think, is the upshot, but it's by virtue of it's a collaborative project, two organisations networking together.
Absolutely. And to support people who have Hep C and are either reluctant because they still remember some of the old stories about, you know,
the old treatments before the direct acting antiretrovirals and how horrible they were. And now the treatments are so – they're non-intrusive. It's one pill a day and it goes for, what, 12 weeks?
8 weeks. Up to 12 max,
Up to 12 weeks. And they have – there are no side effects or virtually no side effects, and people are coming at the end of it – no Hep C, and their livers are beautiful. In fact, they are so beautiful that they can be made available for transplant.
I was amazed when you first told me that story.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I was my jaw dropped when I heard that, and I was at this man's funeral, and it was incredible. His mother stood up. She was she's a lovely woman. She was a lovely woman. She still is a lovely woman. Stood up and said that he had wanted to donate his organs or leave his organs available for donation, but the only thing that he was able to donate was his liver, because he'd had the DAA, the direct acting antiretroviral treatment, so his liver was pristine. And this man was a drinker and a heavy user, but because he'd had the Hep C treatment, his liver was back to beautiful. And I just thought that was fabulous. So it's just, and he did not have any side effects at all from the treatment. And in fact, he used to laud it himself. He would say, you know, how pleased he was that he'd done the treatment because it was so good for him and he'd turned up much better than he had been before. It is fabulous, yeah.
Well, that's the sort of outcome that we're hoping to encourage people who either don't know they've got Hep C and need to be tested to find out whether they have or they haven't. Because one of the sort of sneaky things about Hep C is you can often be almost symptom-free up until decades later when suddenly you find you've got cirrhosis of the liver or even worse, liver cancer. And
And the statistics for that are really are quite high. It's like it's 50% of 50% of 50%, Jeffrey. It's like 50% of people who are Hep C positive get the, you know, will have liver disease, and 50% of those people will have cancer, and 50% of the people who will have cancer will die of that. So it's they're really quite high statistics, and they're frightening. But people should not be afraid of the treatments these days because they are so good and they are so unintrusive, uninvasive. And we would love you to join the project, the Reach, Teach, Treat. Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
That is being conducted by Karma and Hep C ACT in collaboration. And, yeah, get onto it and get paid to clear your Hep C, basically.
Absolutely. Look, I think one of the biggest breakthroughs in the last probably since HIV/AIDS in terms of treatment has been these direct-acting antivirals for Hep C.
Well, you know, they haven't been able to cure HIV. Jeffrey, people are still living with HIV. And although they've been able to get multiviral, you know, multi-purpose antiretroviral therapies, they still haven't been able to cure it. But Hep C is curable or treatable, and that's wonderful.
It's an extraordinary breakthrough.
And it's an amazing thing for drug users, because who would have thought that drug users, given that, I mean, I've lived with discrimination all my life as a drug user, so to think that people were that concerned about drug users that they sought to treat and cure Hep C for us.
Yeah, the other positive thing to acknowledge is that the fact that it was also made available, there were no criteria. Like in some countries, you have to have a certain level of liver disease before you qualify.
Before you have
to have a certain length of abstinence from drug use. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, there's so many provisos, like particularly with the old treatments where you had to be stable, you had to eat three times a day, and basically you had to be in treatment, residential treatment, and not using drugs for it to have any chance of success at all. And then the side effects were so appalling that most people just chucked in the towel halfway through the treatment, just didn't want to be in on it.
It was just too difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we'll be talking about this very exciting collaborative project between Karma and Hepatitis ACT. Sadly, the policies of prohibition remain largely unchanged, and human rights abuses and stigmatising and discrimination of people who use drugs continues to take place. And as usual, we'd like to acknowledge the efforts of the peers and activists who have gone before us and who have fought hard and contributed in the fight against prohibition.
Absolutely.
And reaffirm our commitment to continue fighting against the harms caused by prohibition in all of its manifestations. So in essence, the show aims to inform and hopefully educate listeners about the failure of prohibition or the war on people who use drugs. And of course, we promote the services offered by Karma and also other organisations in the ACT.
Mm. I'll just quickly run through the services Karma provides, and then we'll go into some music, Jeffrey Ho. So the Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimisation and Advocacy is Canberra's only peer-based drug user group. Karma provides a wide range of services such as client advocacy, peer treatment support, education, information, creative arts, mentoring and referrals. The Karma office is located at the Church's Centre, Shop 17, Level 1, 54 Benjamin Way in Belconnen, and its office hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday, except for public holidays, obviously. The phone number is 6253 3643. And I'll say that again, that's 6253 3643. Karma continues to run its Australian first opioid overdose recognition and response with naloxone workshops. Dave, you really have to reduce that to some kind of acronym, because every time I say it every week and I find it harder and harder to say. There are so many words in it. Anyway. The workshops are Australia first. They're absolutely fabulous. Everybody needs to be carrying naloxone with them. I don't think it matters whether you're a copper, whether you're a Joe Blow on the street or Mary Joe on the street. Everyone should be carrying naloxone, and that means you. Everybody should know how to use it. It's easy. It's simple. Learning how to do it. You can get paid to learn how to save somebody's life. And God, I did it over the weekend. for crying out loud. Never thought it would happen, but it did. And you may be, that's what people are thinking. I used the nasal spray three times, Jeffrey, and then I had to give an injection.
Wow.
So, and it's just as well, I had some of the ampules left over. But because I didn't think the nasal spray was strong enough, because the dope was particularly strong for this person, so they weren't used to the dope in the ACT.
But you're right. If you didn't have naloxone in your bag or at home or wherever,
I would have just had to sit there. I would have rung the ambulance. Yeah, of course. That's the other thing. You can always ring the ambulance, and you should ring the ambulance. Stay on the phone with the ambulance, and if you've got naloxone, use it, and give them heart massage or, you know, heart resuscitation until they come around, or you can talk to the Triple O and they were the ambulance people. They will say, have they come round yet? Yep. Do we need to send an ambulance?
Yep.
And if they don't need to send an ambulance, they won't.
Yeah.
But they certainly won't send the police.
No, they've been very supportive.
They're really good. The Triple O people are really supportive. The ambulance are really supportive. And the coppers don't ever turn up. But the important thing is you need to know and be responsible for yourself and your friends. Get naloxone. Get in touch with Dave on 6253 3643 or Damo, or in fact Monica. Get in touch with someone at Karma. Get onto one of those workshops. Find out how to save someone's life. It just makes you a hero and it keeps your friends around.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's fundamentally it, mate. We want people here to fight with us, to stand with us, to be part of our projects, to be part of our listener base, to be part of our membership base, but also to be here until we get the laws changed and no longer have to worry about this war on people who use drugs.
Yeah, well said, Maren. And every time you do save someone's life, that's another name not being added to the list that gets read every October.
At the remembrance ceremony. Which just drives us crazy.
Oh, it's just sad, especially when you hear people, you know, very young people. And
you know, Jude's up there and she's going, yeah, Maz, yeah, Jeffrey, tell them.
Yeah.
And tell them we need better pain relief and tell them, you know, that you've just got to do this stuff. We cannot do it all by ourselves over the radio. You have to look after yourself as well. It is not my responsibility to look after you, but I want to.
Mm.
We should want to look after our friends.
And don't assume that you're going to be the person that is never affected. You know, absolutely. Like a lot of people think, oh, that'll happen to somebody else.
Jeffrey, it would never have occurred to me that I would have needed over the weekend. I thought, oh, no, everybody I know is fine about it. But I forgot, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody comes back to using after not using for a few months and suddenly any amount of heroin,
can be opiate risky. Is
too much, is an overdose amount because you don't know the quality. If they've been using nothing, then any amount can be an overdose amount, can be a toxic amount.
And as you say, with a black market, you cannot predict quality.
The effect, not quality, not quantity. Price is about the only thing we can predict. Always going to be expensive.
Always money to be made.
Absolutely.
Yep. Sadly.
Anyway, the bottom line is Karma's got plenty of services. It can help people with a wide range of issues, including opioid maintenance treatment programs, the availability of detox and rehab services in the ACT, the negative impact of stigma and discrimination, which I suspect is the reason why people don't carry naloxone. I do that every week, don't I? Difficulties with getting access to proper pain relief, which remains a problem for us, and all issues faced by people adversely impacted by prohibition and the war on people who use drugs are men.
Which are many and varied. Okay, look, the contents of this News from the Drug War Front broadcast does not necessarily reflect the views and or policies of the Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimisation and Advocacy. Karma does not condone nor condemn drug use and does not promote illegal activity. Karma recognises that drug use happens, and as such, Karma focuses on harm reduction messages, drug treatment support services, advocacy and community development. Karma seeks to reduce the harms associated with drug use as well as the harms associated with the criminalisation of drug use through the provision of empowering programs that concentrate on community development, person-centred holistic healthcare and equity of health service delivery for all people. And it's long overdue that drug users were treated in a manner you know, similar to other members of the community.
Absolutely. I mean, we're just entitled to it. We are humans, therefore we are entitled to human rights, Geoffrey. And, you know, as Input said, have a look at the international network of people who use drugs. They have written up a charter of human rights for people who use drugs. And I was surprised myself when I read it to think that I was entitled to human rights as a drug user. And the rights that I'm entitled to are the same as those people who don't use drugs. But I personally feel less... I don't know, as if I am less worthy. Mm-hmm. And that's years and years of discrimination that's done that.
Yeah.
And self-flagellation, if you like, Geoff, just because we've lived with guilt for such a long time.
And we hear this stuff so often, don't we?
Yeah.
The negative.
Constantly being told, you know, well, you're only junkies, just junkies. So, you know, you're not entitled to it. Sorry, I do my bit.
Yep.
I'm part of society. I've paid taxes. I've been mother. I've been a parent, a lover, a housewife, yeah. All sorts of things. I have been part of this community. I vote. I am entitled to human rights in exactly the same way other people. I have one activity that puts me outside of the law.
The norms of...
And on that basis, apparently it's okay to discriminate against me and make me the evil one. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, being a woman means don't get drunk, when in fact it's men that rape, not women.
Well, that's a that whole other...
It's women that get raped, but it's not their fault that they get raped. It's men that do the raping. And
yes.
So women shouldn't get drunk. Women should only drink with their partners. Women should change their behaviour. No, 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 no. Men need to change their behaviour. And people who discriminate need to change their behaviour.
Yes.
I shouldn't feel guilty.
Don't blame the victim.
No, no, absolutely don't.
All right, we will go to a song. This is David Bowie and classic Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah.
All right, that was David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust. It's coming up about 8 minutes to 11 and you're listening to News from the Drug War Front on 2XXFM 98.3, People Powered Radio. And just a quick shout out to anyone who enjoys our show, or I think it's actually closer to 80 original shows made by volunteers each week on 2XX Community Radio. Seriously consider becoming a subscriber, and I know at the moment there's a lot of thought going into some innovative ideas to try and come up with other models to try and make it easier for people to... just give some whatever financial support they're comfortable with to try and keep community radio on the air. I think, as I've said many times, it's a very, very important asset for the Canberra community. And our show has been on the air in various lengths for close to 20 years. Anyway, we mentioned about the partnership project that we're very excited about. It's called Reach, Teach, Treat. And it is a partnership project run by Karma and Hepatitis ACT for anyone who thinks that they may have contracted the hepatitis C virus at any stage of their life. And that could be by sharing injecting equipment, receiving tattoos or piercing from settings that weren't properly regulated or hygienic, unprotected sex, sharing hygiene supplies such as razors or toothbrushes, etc. Now, the aim of this project, Reach, Teach, Treat, is to provide a supportive and non-judgmental environment for anyone who wants to clear their hepatitis C and learn about how best to protect themselves from the possibility of reinfection. Also, people who started the treatment, that's old or new treatments, but for any reason did not manage to complete it, are more than welcome to also join us. This includes people who completed the treatment but did not go for their final blood test. This program will be led by your peers in a relaxing and affirmative atmosphere with a lot of space for discussion and also fun exercises to help you engage with and finish off your Hep C treatment. And some of the things the program offers. Each month there will be a peer treatment support group for people undergoing hepatitis C treatment. We'll also help by providing doctors and nurses who truly understand your health and don't have judgmental attitudes towards Hep C.
Which is really important, let's face it.
How many people have, you know, been disinclined to continue, especially back in the old days when you had to go to a liver specialist at the, hospital or liver specialist,
Yes, to a liver clinic, where in fact the approach that the staff at the clinic have taken is a very punitive approach, that those who have hep C or have acquired a transmissible disease or a bloodborne disease have brought it on themselves by virtue of their behaviour. You don't bring it on yourself by virtue of your behaviour, when, in fact, in many instances, if you don't have the strategies to inject safely, then you inject unsafely. Mm. That's the bottom line, because it happens. We just have to understand that drug use happens and injecting happens, and although we might prefer that it doesn't, it does.
Yep.
It is often the most economically viable way of ingesting a very expensive substance and getting an effect from it.
Yep.
So, yeah, but the people that have dealt with us in the past have been so discriminatory, so rude, so punitive that we felt uninclined to attend those centres anymore. And I must say, and have said for the last couple of weeks, Jeffrey, if you remember, that I've been going to the walk-in, went to the walk-in centre in Dixon, got such a lovely reception
from
the staff there. That I just say to people, listen, if you've got something wrong with you, if you've got an abscess, if you've got anything that has made you unwell, if you're worried about your health some way, just go to the walk-in centres in your local area, because there's one everywhere, and speak to the staff there. They will be nice to you. They just will. They'll just take your behaviour as read. They will not blame you for it. They will deal with the issue that
That's
you
what
present.
We like to hear.
Absolutely.
Some of the other things that this Reach, Teach, Treat partnership project is going to be involved with is helping you get your blood checked for hepatitis virus by medical staff who are very supportive, understanding, respectful, and have a lot of experience in working with people who use drugs. So if you want to get on treatment, you can get support to get Hep C treatment options that best suit your life situation. Usually this is between an 8 and 12 week course of pills taken daily, as we've said before. And this partnership project will provide support for people so that if you're finding treatment hard or are coming up against problems, you will be able to talk to peers who are there to help when you need it, and they will
have
experience.
And that's what matters. Yep. It's important. They've got to be there. And by the end of the project, they're hoping that people will be able to educate their peers on the value of Hep C treatments, on the availability, on the whole range of treatments that are available for you as an injecting drug user, as a person with Hep C, but also as a person who uses drugs. So there's nothing like being considered a peer educator. I don't think it's
it's powerful.
It's a really powerful thing to feel that you can help someone else, but to get helped yourself first is really important, and to not feel guilty about seeking help.
Yeah.
It's okay to go and say, I don't know how to do this. You don't have to know everything.
No.
Just because you've been doing it for 20 or 30 years, all that means is that you're more likely to have a more intense infection, okay? So if you've got Hep C, or if you are sluggish, if you're feeling lethargic, if you are not feeling well, have a look. Look, the other thing I found really difficult is having blood taken. To have my liver tested, because the amount of blood they've got to take is monumental, and trying to find a vein is sometimes really difficult. Go to this Reach, Teach, Treat project, because it's a really good idea. I mean, they will take blood from you, and it's not going to be a nightmare trying to find a vein. They'll get one for you.
I can just sort of enhance the sort of introduction that we're mentioning about this project. Sarah Jane from Hepatitis ACT will actually be on our program next week.
That's right, she will too.
To
Sarah
talk
Jane's
about,
gorgeous.
Yeah, it'll be awesome to talk about the collaboration between Karma and Hepatitis ACT. And best of all, for the beginning and each new phase of the treatment, each attendee will be financially rewarded. So you get paid to come to groups, get your blood tests done, and completing treatment means that you win by getting clear of Hep C, as well as being educated and putting some cash in your pocket at the same time. So how cool is that?
It's excellent. It's great. I'd love to talk to Sarah Jane. Sorry, Sarah, didn't mean to be so rude.
Yeah, we've had her on the show before and she's always...
very pleasurable and can talk underwater like we can, so it's always pleasurable to have her here. Yep.
Well, I actually think this partnership project, I mean, I've been involved in seems to have gone on forever, peers around Australia and also people from Burnett and Melbourne trying to come up with ways to reach hard to get or people that this project is seeking to help.
One of the reasons that it's really good to run an NSP, a needle exchange program, is because people will come to the program to get... Safe injecting equipment, that's one of the ways to reach people. But a joint project is a really clever way of doing it.
Indeed. Anyway, all right, we're going to depart for the news and we'll be back after the news.
Okay.